Well, Jimmy, this is it at last. There's enough money to start building the Richard Bentley Theater. Donations now amount to something like £20,000.
Oh. How about that?
Well, I don't suppose you'd care for a game of poker, would you?
No, not with you.
I didn't think you would somehow. Look, Bentley, now that you've got all this money, are you quite sure that you want to build your own theater? I mean, would it be wiser to invest in something safer?
Such as?
Well, there are several sound investments that I could suggest. For instance, the Edwards Farm Produce Company Limited, known popularly as Jim's Dairy. Or there's Jim's Peterson's Moustache Grower. Or if you wait a couple of years, there'll be Jim's Betting Shop.
No, Jimmy, no, my mind is made up. Besides, I've already decided on the architect and builder.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, I've asked him along to meet you.
That's a funny thing.
Yes, it's a coincidence. This way, sir.
Good evening.
Jim, this is Mr. Jerry.
That's me. Our slogan is, you can depend on it if it's Jerry built.
Yes. And this is Mr. Jimmy Edwards.
How do you do? Pleased to meet you.
I'm not Jerry Bill.
Wait a minute. That's a nasty bit of fungus you got there, isn't it?
Bentley, where on earth did you find this merchant?
Well, I was quite impressed by their construction work. After all, Jimmy, this firm was responsible for Tower Bridge.
Well, that's no recommendation. The blooming thing's got a split right down the middle. What else have you built, Mr. Jerry?
Well, now there's the Taj Mahal.
The Taj Mahal, what, in India?
No. Taj Mahal Coffee Bar, Peckham High Street. But here's a few more examples of my work. Just glance at these snapshots here, see?
Oh, good heavens, what a monstrosity.
Oh, sorry, that's the why. look, have a look at these two. Before and after.
My word, Jimmy, this is most impressive. Look, a heap of rubble and a gleaming white block of offices.
Yes, Bentley, but it's the heap of rubble that's marked after.
Yes. Well, now, that's not our fault, really. That's just one of the many little factors we builders have to contend with. Inferior glue.
You're stuck with it. Well, now, what about the Richard Bentley Theatre?
Yes. No doubt you'd like to see the architect's drawn plans. See, I've got them somewhere here, scribbled on the back of an envelope. Oh, there we are. I've got about three different styles to choose from. Well, this, of course, is a very special architectural design.
Oh, yes, Baroque.
You will be when you're paid for it. That one comes out at £100,000. So there's a nice mock Gothic for £50,000.
You look, Mr. Thing. What sort of theatre could you do for £20,000?
Oh. Well, how about a nice stage and a few deck chairs?
Bentley, if I were you, I should get another builder altogether.
Just a minute. Don't let me hasty about this. I'll tell you what I do. A very compact little contemporary theatre. Nothing ostentatious. It's mine for £30,000.
Well, that's more like it. Now, you can accept that, Bentley.
Oh, Jimmy, isn't it? I've only got £20,000. Where can I possibly get another £10,000?
I just thought of something.
Yes, was it?
What was that, Jimmy? Mr. Jerry.
Aye.
Would you care for a game of poker?
With the people. The Sunday Type, the paper that starts where other Sundays leave off.
We publish on Monday.
Yes, the Sunday Type has always last with the news. This week's front page story.
Blizzard hits North.
At the council meeting in Chertsey yesterday, Alderman John Blizzard punched Alderman Henry North in the council chamber. Full of interesting features, such as fishing notes by Dry Fly.
Quite a clever fish, but are to be had if you know how. Pick a quiet stretch of river and get there around 5 a.m., find a good spot in the rushes, and wait. If it's raining, so much the better. But a good mist will serve to hide your movements. Now, with luck and patience, you should catch your pike and probably double pneumonia as well.
Notes for Women by Heather Scott Pepper.
Hello. A person has fled from Greenland to London's swanky Mayfair. Debbie calls an LS court for rubbing noses. More fun than kissing, says Celia Conkey Masters. She was a wallflower until this craze started. Now, thanks to her outsized nose, Celia has been voted Deb of the Year.
And so to our main feature, at last it can be told, the story of Britain's top wartime scientist,
A Backroom Boy Remembers.
I was a boffin to Britain. My name is Colin Muir. In September 1939, I was reading at Cambridge when I heard the War Office wanted me to join a new secret research unit, F6. It meant giving up everything, and I was doubtful, but then I received my income tax demand, and that helped my decision. Giving my landlady a forwarding address in Scotland, I headed south for Whitehall.
Oh, who goes there?
Fred.
Oh, that's a relief. With all these generals knocking about, you can't be too sure.
I'm looking for F6.
What?
Oh. Don't mention F6. It's top secret. I've been waiting for you. You must be Muir. I'm Major Broomskill. We are to work together. Come on. I'll show you around the War Office.
Oh, thanks. This is all strange to me. A Cambridge don torn away from my writing to help win the war.
Oh, come on, then. I'll give you the picture.
Oh, thanks.
Now, just have a peek in here. It's the CIB office.
Dear diary, it's been another worrying day.
Who was that?
Lord Allenbrook. Ah, here we are, F6.
Hello.
This is the new chap, Muir. Muir, this is Phyllis, our tame ATF girl. Does the secretarial work, shorthand type.
Well, I must say it's nice to have a civilian about the place. I've become allergic to coffee. If you want anything, ask me.
Thank you. I suppose we're expected to do a lot of inventing here.
Oh, yes, and we're also responsible for testing all the crackpot inventions that other people think up. Huh. And the ideas they get. Oh, mad, impossible things. Self-propelled boots. And death rays, non-iron shirts. Hello, Broomskill here. Hello, sir. Oh, are you, sir? Yes, sir, come in straight away.
What's that? Trouble?
It's the chief, Professor Grady. He's been experimenting with camouflage paint.
He sounded quite excited. The paint must have been effective.
Yes, it must be. He can't find the way out. Poor old Grady, locked in the laboratory. I'd better go and rescue him.
Nice chap, that Brunkin.
Yes, he's all right.
Is he your...
Well, we're just two people. Thrown together by the wall, carrying on. We keep going. It's convenient.
Oh, I see. You're married.
No.
Oh, good. Oh, then perhaps tonight you and I, dinner, and a bottle of wine.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've got a date. Colonel of Marines.
Tomorrow, then?
No, a Lieutenant Commander, RNVR.
Friday.
An Air Commodore. Is it part of my job? I liaise with the other services.
Yes. Well, it's the first time I've heard it called that. I shall have to learn all this jargon.
Well, I got the broth out. He's popped off to see the PM this afternoon. I say, good gracious me, it's 12:30. Pass me that dispatch box, will you? The one marked guided missiles, top secret. Oh, blast, sandwiches again. Be careful, one.
Thank you. What's in them?
No one knows. It's top secret.
As the months passed, I became familiar with the routine of Section F6, the jargon of the War Office, and finally, with Phyllis. On our rare days off, we'd drive out into the country and picnic.
Have another top secret?
No, thanks. I'm full. Look, let's forget the war.
Oh, all right. Oh, it's so peaceful here. And yet, there's a war to be won. Sometimes I'm frightened.
Don't be. Lying here, I know they can't wish.
No, not while you're here. It's when you start inventing things I get frightened.
I've been taken off bazookas. They're giving me psychology.
Oh, I'm sure it'll do you good.
Psychological warfare. It's my new job to try and worry them into submission. Oh, don't let's think of work. Not here. It's so utterly, utterly tranquil.
Oh, Colin. Does this mean invasion?
No. It means we picked the wrong place for a picnic. This is an assault course. After that incident, Phyllis and I saw less of each other. But as she got cooler, the war hotted up. And the ministry started clamoring for action.
Here's another memo. It says, since receiving your plan in 1940 for towing Britain into mid-Atlantic, we haven't heard from you. Is it something we said?
That's a pleasant note.
Pleasant? Don't you see they want action? Have we invented anything lately?
Well, you stopped my work on the bazooka. I could always start that again.
No, it's far too much of a gamble. I only just managed to convince everybody that that direct hit on the Houses of Parliament was enemy action.
But there's always your Molotov cocktail.
Getting them drunk won't help.
I say, what about my gas that is tasteless, odorless, colorless, and perishes every bit of rubber it touches?
No, I couldn't get the War Office interested. Of course, at the demonstration, you know, it perished the GOC's galoshes. And he got his feet soaking wet. You've got to face it, Colin, unless you think of something, I'm from the Far East and you're back to teaching.
I say, sir.
Well, I thought you'd been demobbed.
Now, look, why don't you combine operations?
How do you mean?
Well, the psychological use of perishing rubber.
By Jove, you've got something there. Remember how depressed the GOC was when its galoshes started letting in water. Now, what's an important use of rubber?
Well, there's water wings and elastic bands.
Braces?
Precisely, braces.
But you can't win the war by taking the snap out of German braces.
Why not?
It should never work.
It's worth a try.
Well, I suppose so. All right, I'm game. But we've got to send it to the minister first. Yes, Minister. F6 hasn't produced many ideas that they've used, but he's made plenty of suggestions.
Yes, quite so. But really, your idea of dropping tin foil from aeroplanes, what's its purpose? To confuse the enemy radar?
No. My idea was that if we dropped tons of tin foil on Germany, they'd think we'd got so much milk chocolate over here, we'd know where to put the wrappings and we're dumping it on them. I thought they'd get so depressed they'd surrender.
Well, sure. That's all very well, but where was the tin foil coming from?
Well, sir, I thought we could use the wrappings from milk, chuck. I haven't thought so.
Yes. You, Brunskill, this round black ball with a fuse poking out, is that what you call a revolutionary bomb?
Well, I've never seen a picture of a revolutionary who didn't have one just like that.
Well, that's not good enough, gentlemen. I shall disband F6.
No, but, Minister, we have a scheme that could see the end of the war.
Yes, sir. You remember Muir's idea for a gas that perishes rubber?
Yes, well.
Well, sir, here's our plan. The scheme, outrageous and far-fetched as it was, it worked. The braces disintegrating gas succeeded beyond our wildest dreams. In 1943, Rommel, crushed and humiliated, shuffled out of Africa. 1944, Italy surrendered and Mussolini went into hiding. Germany's war machine faltered and ground to a stop. And on the 3rd of May, 1945, on Luneburg Heath...
Excuse me, Major Brunskill. There's some more in German officers outside. I stand upon you to surrender.
Tell them in. We've been expecting them. Well, Muir, I don't think we could have done it without you.
Thank you, Brunskill. In wartime, even civilians have their uses.
So, here we are, Major. Ready and willing to sign to find the document you have us, Peter?
This must be one of those German fellows.
I think so.
Yes, we've beaten you with the help of this man. It was his scheme that brought Germany to her knees.
Every pair of prices in the Third Reich ruined. Even though you are civilian, a dealer should salute you.
Then why don't you?
It is impossible. I need both hands to stop my crowd from falling down. Down in the mast tonight.
Oh, I know, sir. I'm talking about down in the mast. Give us another brown ale.
I thought that.
I'll have that down in my mouth in no time.
I thought everything was rosy. Now you're running at his friends again. What's up now,
then, eh? Well, it's his fault, really, you know. She will keep trying to get him interested in all sorts of social activities. Life was so much simpler when they were only interested in one activity. Yeah. Ted, guess what she went and made him do?
I've got no idea, Mr. Glum. You tell me.
She went and made him join the local amateur dramatic society.
No.
Yes, Ted. Now, if that wasn't calling disaster, well, I don't know what is.
What happened then,
Well, to begin at the commencement, give us another brown quick. F
Bess started coming round every night in her new role as dramatic coach. And a notice went up on the door of our front parlour what said, "Quiet, rehearsal in progress."
Everyone has some hidden talent. There's just no in you, and I want to bring it out. Why keep it hidden? I want everyone to see it.
I haven't seen it myself yet. Crosses the window.
Wrong. That's the stage direction. Put down the script. You ought to know your part by now anyway.
But supposing I forget what I'm supposed to say?
You must just do what every good actor does. Cover up.
Cover up what, eh? Yes.
Now, look, let's see this. It's the big love scene. Now, get yourself in the mood.
I am in the mood, dear. Come on, give us a kiss. Exactly. Come on.
We're only acting.
Oh.
Now, listen. This is a very tender moment.
Tender moment.
Yes, and you need to have the right expression. You must try and get a sort of pathetic look on your face. That's it, Ron. That's marvellous.
I haven't done it yet.
Well, that'll do. Now, come on, say your line.
I know this is madness, but I think I am falling in love with you.
And I with you, Sir Gregory. Say embrace. Oh, not like that. Oh, no, where's Sir Gregory?
I like this bit.
Yes. Oh, sorry. You're crumpling my script.
Oh. Hello, hello, hello. Well, that's what you call rehearsing, is it? Looks like I caught you in Act Two.
You interrupted Ron's big scene, Mr. Glum.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm short. I only popped in from the kitchen for a breath of fresh air. My Glum's grating some gorgonzola. Well, Ethel, now I'm here. How is Sir Ronald Guinness coming along, then?
There's no need to make fun of him, Mr. Glum. Ron has all the makings of a first-class thespian.
Has he? Funny, I never noticed that all these years. Oh, well, I suppose we're all the better for knowing that, I'm sure.
And what's more, well, it's the right place for Ron and the right part. It's gay, witty, and sophisticated.
Yeah, so it might be. Mark my words, if Ron's got anything to do with it, it'll turn out a tragedy. Ed, why did you have to get him started on all this acting love?
Oh, lots of reasons. Well, for one thing, it'll give Ron the chance to express himself.
Well, he was doing that all right when I came in just now.
Besides which, it'll help develop his confidence and personality. I'd like to see you stand up and perform in front of a lot of people.
Oh, now, Ed, Dad's done that lots of times. In the pub on the Saturday night.
Of course I heard. You'd be proud of me, Ed. After a few drinks, I'm a veritable Lawrence Oliver.
But was the young woman at Gloucester? It's crazy to say.
Different. This is a serious play. The trouble is, you don't really understand the theatre.
What, me not understand the theatre?
That's what I said. When was the last time you went to the theatre?
It was on my birthday.
That's right. So it was. That's right. Ron's birthday treat, yes. I took him to see Naughty Nudes in the Edgware Road.
Naughty Nudes? In the... Can you call that a real theatrical experience? Well, I'm sure it must have been very moving.
Well, it wasn't supposed to be moving, but... it was, wasn't it, Ron, eh?
Yes. I took my catapult with me.
Oh, them prunestones. You should have seen Ron's face with them all up there on the stage in their birthday suits.
Dad, how did they know it was my birthday?
Sort of vulgar offering with, well, the legitimate theatre.
Eh?
Well, I know it's only amateur dramatics, but you never know where it might lead. Oh, look at Hedley Goodhue.
Look at who?
Hedley Goodhue.
Oh, yes.
Well, it started in the local amateur group. He was spotting in seagulls over Toronto. Just look at him now. He's quite famous on television.
Well, I've never heard of him.
Well, perhaps you're one of those who don't watch the commercials. Can't tell me you wouldn't be proud of Ron if the same thing happened to him.
No. I suppose I would like to see Ron on the telly. After all, any proud father must... Ron.
Yes, Dad?
Get down off the telly. There's a good man. I didn't mean it that way, son. All right, Ed, if you're convinced that he can do it and won't make a fool of himself, he has my blessing.
Oh, I'm positive he's star material.
All right, then, when's the big night?
Next Monday.
All right, Ed, book a couple of seats as near the bar as possible. And you and me will be there to share in Ron's ovation.
What a lovely house you have, Lady Faversham.
Yes. It is rather nice, isn't it? Of course, it takes rather a lot of upkeeping.
When's Ron coming on
it?
Give us another fish paste sandwich.
I feel so nervous for his sake. Haven't you got a funny feeling when he's coming?
Yes, I have. Perhaps I've had too many of them sandwiches. I don't know.
Well, I will do so when Sir Gregory returns from hunting.
Oh, good idea. Sir Gregory is here soon.
Oh, here comes Sir Gregory now.
What's happening?
No.
Oh, here comes Sir Gregory now.
Dear, where is he? Where's Ron?
I'm right behind you.
Mummy, what are you doing there?
I thought I'd see it better from here.
Oh, you stupid lad.